I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about digital and analog. Digital and analog. We're talking about the flow of information in our body. And yesterday we talked about how when we practically do things, we physically write in a journal, we exercise, we physically express what we're thinking out into the world. There's a conversion that happens from digital to analog that helps us to remember and not forget. We talked about in James chapter 1 about how when we actually do what we're learning, you write it down, you speak it, you walk it out, you live it out, helps you to remember and not forget. Well, today I want to talk about this process of what happens in our bodies. And some of this comes from my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, God's system for restoring abundant health in our body. Part of this is understanding the way that God designed our bodies to function and how information functions in the body. Because I believe this is a critical piece to understand about how our bodies and even the body of Christ works, because our bodies are just a representation of the body of Christ. So let's do a quick overview of this, and we're going to be praying over this, asking God as we take communion to give us insight and understanding into this. I would like to understand it better myself, to be honest, to understand the details and the intricacies of how this works, because I do know this is how we can reprogram our bodies. This is how you can reprogram the code or the programming that runs our bodies. So information is coming at our bodies every day. Information's coming at our bodies. Light waves, sound waves, colors, flavors, smells, touch, and pressure, and heat, and cold. Information's coming at our bodies all day long. Words we see, things we hear. And our sensory receptors pick it up. But most of that information is filtered out. Now, lately, we've been talking about as well, especially inside of our partner Zooms, we've been talking about the importance of cleaning out our filters. Sometimes frustration and irritation and rejection and these types of things can clog up our filters and keep the good stuff that we want to get in from getting in. They can clog up those filters. So we've got to shake out the filters a little bit. We've got to clean out our filters periodically, which we've been talking about with our partners, doing that once a month, just like you would clean the air filters in your house once a month or change them out. We've been talking about changing out or cleaning out our filters once a month. So we're going to shake those out. We're going to clean them out so that the good information gets in. And then when that information comes in, that's information is coming in waves. It's continuous waves, which is analog. So digital versus analog. Analog, think about a clock that has a second hand and a minute hand, an hour hand that's just continually running. You don't get an exact measurement of time because it's constantly in motion. Whereas a digital clock, it gives you an exact time. It gives you an exact number. Digital is precise numbers. Now, there's benefits. I'm not going to go too deep into those today, to either digital or analog. For example, digital takes up less space. So think of MP3s. Don't take up nearly as much room as cassette tapes. Okay, it's very small storage space. It's less affected by noise. So digital is very good for precise communication that's not impacted by noise, and you get a lot of information passed through much better. So this analog information is coming into our bodies. We're going to filter it out, and then our body's going to convert that analog information into digital code, into information that's going to go to the brain for processing. Now, Jesus says, if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and understand with your heart, and then turn or be converted, it says, then healing would come, then prosperity would come, then times of refreshing would come. All these good things happen on the other side of the conversion or the turning. So information is coming into the body through light waves, sound waves, all these different analog formats. It gets digitized in the body once it gets through the filter. And what determines what filters? It's all about what we're focused on, what we're looking for, what we're tuned to. So, for example, there's all kinds of radio waves in the air right now, but you only tune to one of them. We filter out all the others and we tune to the one. We want to tune in to God. We're going to filter those things out. It's going to get digitized in the body and go to the brain and the heart for processing. Because Jesus says you have to understand with your heart. And I find that very interesting. almost exactly to the day a year ago, we were discussing the same thing in our Abundant Health Challenge that we did with our partners about a year ago. And God just keeps bringing it back. He seems to do this every year on the same timetable, keep bringing the same messages back during the same time of year, because we're getting close to the Feast of Purim, which is the turning point of the year. It was the day when the tables were turned. It's a reminder that Jesus is our table turner. And this idea of turning from digital to analog, the conversion or turning into, is a key theme during this time of the year as we get into March, it seems. So that information is going to come in. It's going to get digitized in the body. But then it's got to be understood with the heart. We're going to process it with our head, but it's got to be understood with our heart. It's got to be seen through the eyes of grace. It's got to be understood by understanding God's grace. We got to get his grace rooted and established in our heart. And we're going to understand it. And then our body is going to take that information. It's going to make decisions. It's going to send out commands to the body or impulses to the body and instructions to the body of what to do. So, for example, information can be coming in through the food we eat, through exercise, through things that we're reading or writing or whatever we're doing. And now your body's going to process that information. It's going to give you your body instructions on what to do. It's going to give impulses on the inside of actions to take and things to do. And that those impulses are going to be sent in digital format, precise instructions of what to do. But then you got to turn it into analog, which means you have to do something with it. Until you speak it, until you write it, until you do the physical exercise or you take the action step, it stays locked up on the inside in digital format. It's got to be turned back into analog again. And when you actually do the thing, it turns into analog. And now you create a memory. You create a marker in time when that event occurred. Because it hasn't happened yet in the digital world. You create a marker in time, a physical marker, a physical witness or testimony or remembrance of something that happened, which is part of what we're doing in communion. We got a physical cracker and juice that we do as a remembrance, something physical that we actually do to convert this digital into analog. It's a little longer intro today. But then as this happens, it turns it back into analog, which can get picked up by our senses again. And now it feeds this hopefully virtuous cycle that it comes in through analog. We process it. We understand it. We take the right actions. And that turns into analog again. And it feeds this feedback loop. This hopefully virtuous cycle, and become more and more confident in it as we go. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our remembrance and give us something practical and physical that we do to help us to abide in him. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. It gives us something physical to do, which is really important. But it's also important we take it the right way. To take it every day with the fear of the Lord, just that deep honor and reverence and appreciation and respect for God and for Jesus and for his sacrifice. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves and say, how are we doing today? Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God, but then we've got to bring it down into today. Our eternal perspective with God has got to impact today. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout advice. Because it should be a physical exercise, one of the greatest ways to practice applying our faith, to practice receiving this grace by faith and to exercise our faith, where this grace is flowing through us and we experience God doing the work while we rest. We rest on the inside in our soul and God does the work through us. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing. Help us be sensitive to those opportunities and make the most of them. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? This is the time to examine ourselves, because we've got to bring it into today. Our relationship with God has got to impact today. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to bring some presence and some energy and some fun into today. We're going to execute these four fundamentals. Our first one, we're going to take our position in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. We're going to take our position in the light today. We're going to take our position in humility, because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with ourselves. We're going to get this grace flowing through us. And we're going to walk in forgiveness and grace with other people. We're going to take our position today in love, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. One of the easiest ways to keep our position all day, to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we take our position, we're stepping into Christ. We're stepping into the light. And God has taken everything he has, and he's given it all to Jesus. He put it all in Christ, and we get to be in him today. So today, this day, today, right now, 24/7, all day long, his spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, his mind and wisdom, his kingdom, his purpose, his health, his family, his time, his finances, you name it, it's all in there and available today to flow through us. So first, we're going to take our position in it, but then we've got to start to magnify it. Our second fundamental is magnification, which is to make bigger or greater. We're going to expand that capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And it's all about what we're focused on. Where's our focus and attention? What are we meditating on throughout the day? When I think of meditation, I think of repetition. What are the things that I'm consistently repeating over and over, that I'm consistently thinking about and talking about and focusing on throughout the day? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his mighty works, our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us, and whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. We can magnify what's going well, and looking back at how far God has already brought us, all that he's already done in our lives, and to magnify that. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring those issues and problems into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. I always think of David. Everybody else is magnifying the size of Goliath, the size of the giant. But David looks the giant in the face, and he magnifies God as bigger than Goliath. And that's the difference. But God does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck, positioned in darkness and magnifying all the ways we've been wronged, bitterness, unforgiveness, magnifying the size of the issues and problems, looking out for ourselves, trying to figure it all out ourselves and putting all the pressure on ourselves rather than resting and trusting in God and relying on His grace to make everything happen, that He would be the source of it all. And that's where we've got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're positioned in it or magnify it, we might have the tendency to retaliate at people, or we're going to withhold and say, oh, I'm not going to do that for them because they did that to me. They said that to me. They said that about me. They did this to me. Or I might avoid people. I might withdraw my presence away from them. I might give them the silent treatment and just not talk to them. But those are not the way of grace. Those are not the way of love. Internally, on the inside, you'll feel this weight and this heaviness and this pressure, like it's all sitting on you. You might feel hopeless or helpless, powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck, and it seems like there's no way out of it. Seems like you're stuck in this prison and there's no way out. Then in your energy, you'll feel this low energy. I like to think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's the dread of the future. We're looking out into the future, into an unknown future, and there's confusion, there's dread, there's worry about this because we're not trusting in God as our security. Then there's these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there is this rest in our soul. And when we rest, now God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your energy levels rise up, and now you've got His peace and joy and love and power, His mind and wisdom. Everything He has begins to flow through you. And now that all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it back around. One of our biggest challenges is maintaining our positioning and our focus throughout the day, because life tries to pull us off track. If we ever get off track, we get veered off course. It just takes a moment to turn it back. How do we do it? We start with number one, we start with humility. Recognizing those symptoms. Wait a minute, I'm off track right now. Having that awareness to recognize what's going on the inside. To recognize, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. I'm focused on the wrong thing as I'm out of position. Father, forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves in the middle, and we walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else or take steps to make a relationship right, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking God for His grace and His goodness and His love, and that He's more than enough. And you'll feel that shift on the inside. You'll feel that weight just lift off of you on the inside. You'll feel your faith and your courage and your confidence just begin to rise up on the inside. You'll feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to flow through you again. This lightness will come into your spirit. Your energy levels will rise up, and it just takes a moment. It's an amazing gift. And then we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. We got to stay tuned into His leading. We talked about filtering things out, right? We got to stay tuned into Him. Every day He's trying to train us. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start by writing out, what am I grateful for today? I like to start with gratitude to get my position. And then I like to magnify it. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? And then take it a few minutes to examine, what are the symptoms I was having? How was my positioning? How was my focus today? Any areas I need to make some adjustments in? And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still for a couple minutes and listen, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day, because every day He's trying to lead us and guide us and course correct us. If we ever feel like we're losing that connection, we can just slow down for a minute or two and get plugged back into Him. Think of it like plugging your phone back in, but it just takes a minute or two. It doesn't take long. And then the last thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God before I go to bed. And what I've learned to do is to stick with what I know. Because I learned sometimes I was getting ahead of God because I was taking actions on things that I didn't know what to do yet. I would ask Him for guidance and wisdom on what to do, but He hadn't shown me yet. And I would just go ahead and do what I thought was best anyway. Then I end up having to redo a bunch of stuff. On the other side, sometimes there were things that I knew to do, but I was procrastinating on them. And so what I've learned to do is stick with, what do I know to do today? What do I know needs to happen today? And I begin to write out the plan. Anything on my to-do list, anything in my conscience, anything I've been procrastinating on, anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do, write out the list. And then we're going to wake up like a kid on Christmas morning because this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We're going to first get our position in Him, start praising and thanking Him, start magnifying Him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together in partnership with Him today, with a willing heart, with a good attitude and full confidence in Him, that confident faith that He's right there with you. And when you get that confident faith, it does something like magnetize us. That confident faith gets this grace flowing through us. And when that grace begins to flow, He begins to beautify our lives. He's the source of beauty. And beauty is attractive and magnetic, and it just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So digital and analog. This information's coming to the body in waves all day long. Our body's filtering that information based on what we're tuned to and what our filters are set to. We're converting it into digital instructions and code. It's got to be processed and understood by the head and the heart. It's got to be understood through the lens of grace. Think about this. Two people could be in the exact same situation, but they make totally different decisions. For example, a financial recession comes. One person freaks out. Another person sees it as a great opportunity. Make two different decisions, all based on the understanding in the heart. And then it's converted into instructions or impulses that are sent to the body with actions to take. But then those actions have to be taken. We actually have to do it. And when we take those actions, it gets converted back into analog again. And it feeds this feedback loop. And this is the way, I believe, that our bodies are programmed. This is how the software and the hardware of the body works. This is how our programming works on the inside. And so we're asking God for help today. Help us to understand and to be able to practically understand how this works and apply this into our lives to help us to function in this the way you designed it to. This is a little bit of a complicated thing. So we're asking for us just simple insights. How can we practically apply this? Because I've known this for a little while in my book, Cracking Heaven's Code. But trying to understand, part of this is for me to understand, how can we simplify this and put it into practical things that we can help us to do to improve our health, to improve our lives as well. I want to turn it into something practical to activate this, that we can begin walking in it. So Father, we're so grateful for You. We're asking for Your help with that today. We thank You that on the night Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and said, "This is My body broken for You. Do this in remembrance of Me." And they said, "Take it. Receive it." Then He makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through His one sacrifice. Father, we just thank You for this bread and this opportunity to remember that You're with us because of Jesus. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can know him. We can have this personal relationship with him. And that's what it's all about. So Father, we thank you for this cup. The cup of participation, the cup of thanksgiving. It's the physical expression of our gratitude in this juice today. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right, let's talk about some workout stuff here. So I once had an opportunity to meet with a lady. I had a friend of mine who's a scientist. We're working on some things together. And meet with a lady, I think she was a neurologist is what she was. Someone who understands the electrical impulses and the nerves that are happening in the body very well. And we were talking to her, and she said, most of the impulses that go to the body that tell the body to move, it's digital. It's on or it's off. It's a one or a zero. It's on or off. It's one or zero. And so basically what she was telling us is that unless the impulse is sent and turned on, it lies dormant. So we got to wake up our bodies. Part of the purpose of physical exercise every day is we have parts of our body that are lying dormant unless we turn them on. In a similar way, the body of Christ has people that are lying dormant. They're not walking in. They're not activating all that's available to us in Christ. We got to wake up the body. Bible verses talk about wake up, sleeper. And let the light of Christ shine upon you. It's either on or it's off. It's either awake. And part of physical exercise, you should feel like your body is waking up throughout the day when you do your workout. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.